Good evening. It's good to be able to come back again this evening to worship God. We just sang in our songbook, Sweet Hour of Prayer, and we have that opportunity to come to God in prayer and that privilege. And this evening, I want us to consider a lesson from God's Word dealing with the matter of praying in Jesus' name. If you think about that, that is something that we do quite a bit. Think about how many times you've said a prayer in your lifetime and ended that with, in Jesus' name. That would be many, many times. What does it mean to do that? What do those words mean? What is the purpose of that statement at the end of our lesson? When you consider society as a whole and how many of them are trying to get rid of spiritual things in our life, one thing that you'll find in addition to getting rid of the Ten Commandments and getting rid of this and getting rid of that is the matter of prayer and trying to do away with prayer in public places. And many in our society want to remove prayer altogether or remove in Jesus' name at the end of prayers. I was reading just this past week about a small town in Washington State where an atheist group had sent them a scathing, threatening letter that they need to stop opening up their city council meetings with prayer and ending that prayer in Jesus' name. Not only did the council come back and vote on the matter quite quickly and say, we're going to continue doing that, but they even ruled that we will not pray in any other name than Jesus. There will be no false gods or deities allowed. I thought that was quite impressive. So we find individuals wanting to remove prayer or prayer in Jesus' name. And we've run across this maybe in our lifetime, maybe in the past 25 to 30 years or so. I know that I've witnessed some of this. Maybe you have. There have been different pushes, maybe at a ball game, for example, to do away with the prayer before a ball game or do away with prayer at graduation, something along those lines. Or there might be a ruling that we don't mind you doing that as long as you remove in Jesus' name. And of course, with the atheists, we know what the agenda there is. But even among some other groups, that would be less offensive to the Muslim. It would be less offensive to the Jew, the Buddhist, the Hindu, and other individuals like that. And so there's a push by many to remove Jesus' name from prayers. Others, maybe like ourselves, we have quite a habit of praying in Jesus' name. We've already done that this evening. We've done that earlier today. But we may not fully understand all that that means. It may be more of just something of a habit or a ritual or routine. And we certainly don't want to do something and not know why we do it. From time to time, I think it's important to have lessons from God's Word to not only teach us what to do, but why do we do that? What's the purpose in that? What's the meaning behind that so that we don't slump into some sort of ritualism or formalism and we're going through the motions and we simply don't know what we're doing? Is it just something we add on at the end of a prayer? You know, I learned it from my mom and dad, and so that's why I do that. I don't really know why, but that's why. And still others believe that there needs to be a certain order of words that must be used at the end of a prayer. It must be a certain number of words and a certain order every time. There's actually some religions that believe in that. So what does the Bible say about this particular matter? Well, if you'll turn with me to John chapter 14, I want us to begin there this evening in looking at praying in the name of Jesus. Of course, Jesus here in John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17 is speaking with his disciples after they leave the upper room and they're walking through Jerusalem and they're going to the Kidron Valley and the Garden of Gethsemane and so forth. And along the way, Jesus talks about how that the Holy Spirit is going to come and help them and other lessons are taught there. And in John chapter 14, I want to begin reading in verse 11. John 14, verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, that will I do. If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And so we have this statement here from Jesus to his disciples that if you ask anything in my name, that will I do. And so what we have here then is a statement by Jesus of the importance of praying in his name. Now we're going to come over to some matters that involve New Testament Christians. But before we do that, look at two other passages here in John. Turn with me to chapter 15. Chapter 15 and verse 16. We'll start in the previous verse, John 15, verse 15. "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known unto you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another." So whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Now turn with me to chapter 16. Chapter 16, beginning in verse 23. Chapter 16, verse 23. "And in that day you shall ask me no question. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you shall ask anything of the Father, he will give it to you in my name. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken unto you in dark sayings. The hour cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in dark sayings, but shall tell you plainly of the Father. In that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I came forth from the Father." So we have some statements here in all three passages where Jesus is telling his disciples that they will pray and ask, and whatever they ask in my name, the Father will give it to you. Now turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. As you're turning over there, we've made the point before in different lessons that when Jesus is talking in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, he's speaking to his disciples. And we need to keep in mind that as he's speaking to his disciples, that is the context there. Jesus is not speaking to anyone and everyone. For example, Jesus talks to his disciples there in John 14, 15, and 16 and says that the Spirit is going to guide you into all the truth. There are people today in religions that say, because of that passage, that God is going to guide us into all the truth by the Holy Spirit. He's going to continue to do the same thing with us today. And we make the point that, no, Jesus is talking to his disciples. And that's a good point. Well, would that same point hold true here? That if Jesus is talking to his disciples about praying in his name, would that apply not just to the disciples? And that's a very good question. And the answer would be yes, if we didn't have other passages that let us know as Christians we're to pray in Jesus' name. And so Christians are to give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, having just spoken about singing in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Because of this passage, we are supposed to be doing the same thing. That's why we pray in Jesus' name, because of Ephesians 5:20, and we're going to look at Colossians 3:17. This is not just something for the disciples. This is something for all of God's followers. We are to pray, give thanks in Jesus' name, in the statement here, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at the parallel passage in Colossians chapter 3. I asked Brandon if he would read that one. With regard to singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, we're very familiar with Colossians 3:17, "And whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." Look at this. "Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father." Look at it. "Through Him." Now we're beginning to get a little bit closer as to what this means. That when we do all of these things in the name of the Lord Jesus, we're giving thanks to God through Him. Jesus is our mediator. He is our intercessor. But the point that I simply want to make here with Ephesians 5:20 and Colossians 3:17 is that praying in the name of Jesus applies to us as Christians. It wasn't simply limited to the disciples. Now, what is this statement and what are some lessons that we can learn from it? Well, come back with me to John chapter 14. Before we get into a study of the particular meaning of this praying in Jesus' name, just notice a few lessons here that are practical in nature before we get into the details of the lesson. First of all, when you're looking at the prayer of a Christian, and we need to be on praying terms with God. We need to be where we can pray to God and He will hear us. First of all, we need to understand that prayer has a privilege tied with it. It's not just open to anyone and everyone. Where just anyone prays and that's a prayer that's automatically heard. Notice in verse 12, "He that believeth on me." We're going to be talking in this lesson about believers. Later we're going to look at some verses where the writer will say that when we go to God through Jesus, that it's something for us. Us believers, us Christians. And so it's a privilege that Christians have in believing in Christ. And we need to be a true believer, a true follower, to have that privilege of prayer. Number two, we have the blessing of petitions. If you ask, and this is very comforting, it's very encouraging, whatsoever you ask in my name. Notice that whatsoever. Now we're going to notice later in the lesson that is qualified. It's not whatsoever the brand new Corvette, you know, whatsoever the $1 million. It's whatsoever in the context of what God wills, but it is still a whatsoever. And it is a broad petitioning that is very encouraging that there are a large amount of things that we can ask for that God will grant. But notice that there's a provision tied with it. And that is that we pray in Jesus' name or in my name. And that's what we're going to focus on this evening. There's a promise. Whatsoever you ask, I will do it. Did you notice that in the first reading of this in verse 13? And it's repeated again in verse 14. That will I do. Wow, what a promise. What an encouragement. That's why John can say later in 1 John 5, you know, verses 14, 15, 16, along in there, that we have boldness to come before God. What a great promise that is. And then there's a whole purpose in this. Look at the latter part. That when we do these things, verse 13, the Father may be glorified in the Son. The whole purpose of this is to bring glory to God as He answers the prayers of His believers. Now, let's focus on the expression in Jesus' name. We do it all day long if we're praying regularly. We say it multiple times. In our lifetime, it would be hundreds of times that we've said that. What is that meaning? What does that mean? Well, first of all, the phrase "in the name of Jesus" certainly refers to the authority of Jesus. There's no question about that. There are many places in the New Testament where the idea of "in the name of" means by the authority of, such as in the name of the law. We use that expression today. Matthew 18, verse 5, to receive a little child in my name by his authority. Where two or more are gathered together in my name, by the authority of Christ. Matthew 18, verse 20. There will be many who will come in my name, preaching and teaching and so forth. That is, by the authority of Christ. There are those who will do mighty works or miracles in the name of Jesus. Mark 9 and 39. When the apostles, Mark 16, verse 17, went out and cast out demons and took up serpents, they would do that in the name of Jesus or by His authority. The Holy Spirit would be sent in the name of Jesus. I believe all of these are contexts that deal with the authority of Christ. And right here, buried in here, is John 14. And no doubt this expression means that when we pray to God, that prayer is going to be answered because Christ has authority. And we're asking according to God's will. We'll talk about that in a minute. And by the authority that Christ has, He's not just a man. He's fully God. He has all authority. Matthew 28, verse 18. He will grant those petitions. And so clearly, I believe authority deals with this statement. But turn with me also to the book of Acts. We're dealing with the statement of authority. Here's where it's mentioned, I believe, in one of the clearest ways. There are some statements in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John are in the temple, right after the establishment of the church on the day of Pentecost, they heal this lame man in chapter 3. And this lame man is asking for alms. And when Peter and John come by at the time of prayer, or the hour of prayer, verse 6, he's hoping to get some alms for them. Peter says, verse 6, "Silver and gold have I none, but what I have, that I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." That miracle was provided by Jesus' authority. Okay, and the man gets up and walks. Verse 16, as Peter is preaching to the crowd, "And by faith in his name hath his name made this man strong." Look at that. By faith in his name, I have to have faith in that statement. Look back at verse 6. "In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk." That man had to have faith in that. He had to believe that. He had to accept that. He could have just, "No, I'm just going to sit here and I don't think that that's going to work." By faith in his name, has his name made this man strong? By his name, he's been made strong. By his authority, that miracle was performed. Well, later in chapter 4, not only do they work miracles, but they preach. And they teach, and of course the Jewish leaders don't like that. So look at chapter 4 and verse 18. "And they called them and charged them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus." What that means is they weren't just standing up saying, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." They weren't just saying his name, but they were teaching in his name. They were teaching and preaching by his authority. Remember that they had been given authority, number one, to go out and work miracles, and to preach the gospel. Mark 16, 15, 16, 17. Authority. All of this was in his name. So clearly, these passages speak to the matter of authority. In 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 4, in the matter of withdrawing from the fornicating brother, they were to be gathered together and deliver such a one in the name of Christ. We're to do all things in the name of Christ. The command to withdraw from the disorderly, 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 6, was in the name of Christ. And the anointing with oil, James 5 verse 14, in the name of Christ. I believe all of these passages deal with the authority of Christ and that particular matter. I believe also the matter of praying in Jesus' name means that we pray according to His will. We're going to look at 1 John 3, but turn with me to James 4. First of all, we need to be careful that when we're praying, that we're not praying for selfish wants and desires, but we're praying for that which is going to fall within the will of God. And I believe praying in Jesus' name also includes this concept of asking according to God's will. We can't just ask and spend it on our own pleasures, as it were. James 4, verse 1, "Whence come wars and whence come fightings among you? Come they not hence," or from this area, "where? Even of your pleasures that war in your members." When there is trouble among brethren, you can trace it to selfish desires within them in some ways. It often leads to wars and divisions. "You lust and have not. You kill and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss, that you may spend it in your pleasures." And then the next verse, "You adulteresses." They were spiritually unfaithful. They were having friendships with the world. Verse 4, they were carnal. They were worldly. And their prayers weren't being answered, in part because they were asking to spend it in your pleasures. So we have to ask according to God's will. Now, turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. The more we read and study God's Word, we know what God wants for our lives. Those are the things that control our prayers. And we ask, staying within the boundary of what God wills for us in His Word. 1 John chapter 3, Verse 21, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have boldness toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive, because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight." Whatsoever we ask. Well, wouldn't that include the brand new Corvette and the $1 million? You know, well, it's tied in with the latter part of the verse. If we are keeping His commandments and doing the things that are pleasing to Him, we're not going to be asking for that type of thing to start with. So it's conditioned. Verse 23, "And this is His commandment, that we should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, even as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments abideth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He gave us." We're abiding in Christ, we're keeping His commandments, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Well, it's because we're living faithfully and we're obeying God's Word. And so we're trying to live within God's will. And then chapter 5, verse 14. Chapter 5, verse 14. "And this is the boldness which we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." But look at it. If we ask anything according to His will. And so we're going to stay within the boundary of God's Word. "And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions which we have asked Him." Look at this boldness. Look at this confidence. Prayer is not just some practice we go through where there is doubt and uncertainty, and there's not much benefit from it. There is a great boldness that we have, but we have to ask according to His will. But when we're looking at the matter of praying in Jesus' name, I want us to turn back now to John chapter 16, one of those passages that we read earlier. And I want us to go back and read carefully something that I believe is important in this lesson, and it also helps us to understand. I believe praying in Jesus' name certainly includes the idea of by His authority. I believe it also includes the idea of asking according to God's will. But there's also a matter here that I believe sometimes gets left out, and that is that praying in Jesus' name refers to praying through Jesus. He is our mediator between us and God. And if you read carefully again this matter of John chapter 16, there's an interesting statement that comes out that I believe helps us to understand what is going on here. When you read these statements in John, where Jesus said that you will pray in My name, you'll notice that it is spoken in the context of Jesus going back to His Father. And I believe that that is very important in understanding what is going on here. For example, in John chapter 14 and verse 12, right before He says, "Whatsoever you ask in My name," in verse 12 He says, "Because I go unto the Father." Jesus is about to go somewhere and do something that He has not done hitherto, that He has not done up to this point. He is about to die. This is on the eve of His death. And then He's going to be put in the tomb. 3 days later, He's going to rise again. A space of about 40 days later, He's going to ascend back into heaven and sit at the right hand of God, and He's going to be an intercessor and a mediator there. And right before He does that, He says, "I want you to begin to do some things because I'm going to go to My Father. I want you to ask in My name." I believe that's very important. Before Jesus ascended, the disciples asked Jesus things directly. They prayed to God directly. The disciples were praying individuals. "Lord, teach us to pray." Being good Jews, they would have been praying to God. They didn't start praying here in John 14. They've been praying. They've probably been praying all their life. But there's going to be something new now. "I want you to start praying in My name. And I'm about to go to the Father, and I want you to start praying in My name." Jesus is about to go to the Father, and they would begin to approach the Father through Jesus now. This is what is going to be different. Before Jesus ascended, the disciples asked Jesus things directly. Soon they would be asking the Father through Jesus. Before Jesus ascended, He was not in the role of a mediator. Soon He would be. Now turn with me to John chapter 16, and let's notice a few things here. This is a case of where it's important to read very carefully. In John chapter 16 and verse 23, "And in that day you shall ask me no question." Let's stop right there. If you back up to verse 18, they said, "Therefore, what is this that he saith a little while?" Is that a question in verse 18? Is that a question? The disciples asked Jesus all kinds of questions during their ministry. But look at what he says in verse 23. "And in that day you shall ask me no question." Jesus is going to be gone. He's going to be sitting at the right hand of God. They're not going to be asking him questions anymore, because there's going to come a time, look at verse 25, "He has been speaking in dark sayings. There's going to come a time, but they shall tell you plainly." In other words, when the Holy Spirit descended upon them at Pentecost and they were guided into all the truth, they wouldn't be asking Jesus any more questions. They would know fully all of the truth. And so there's going to be some changes that are going to be made. Number one, you're not going to be asking me any more questions. Okay? But there are other changes that are going to be made. What is that? Well, "And in that day you shall ask me no question. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you shall ask anything of the Father, he will give it to you in my name." Notice very carefully verse 23, the last part. "He will give it to you in my name." Not only is it the asking in my name, but it's also the giving in my name. I believe that's also important as well. But notice they're not going to ask Jesus anymore. They're going to go to the Father. They're going to address the Father, but it's going to be through Jesus, through His name. And so the point simply is this, that when we pray in Jesus' name, I believe that it includes the matter of by His authority. I believe it includes the idea of asking according to His will. But it's also this very important principle, and that is that every time we go to God in prayer, we go through Jesus. He is our intercessor, our mediator, and He speaks for us. And we'll talk about why that is important in just a moment. Now keep reading here. Look at verse 24. This is very important. "Hitherto," that's the old English way of saying up to this point. "Up to this point, you have asked nothing in my name." Now stop and look at that. If "in my name" simply means praying to God in the name of Jesus, that would mean that up to this point you've never done that. Well, does that fit with the idea of just simply by His authority? Up to this point, they've prayed to God. And up to this point, Jesus has had authority. He has had authority the whole time that He's been on earth with them. But up to this point, they have not prayed in the name of Jesus. And I believe, if I understand this correctly, it's because up to this point, He has not been in the role of a mediator and in an intercessor. Okay? "Up to this point, or hitherto, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." Look at verse 26. "In that day you shall ask in my name." In what day? In the day that He goes back to His Father. There's going to come a time when He's no longer there with them. They will be guided into all the truth. Verse 25, it won't be a matter of dark sayings and hidden sayings. It'll be open truth. They won't have to ask Jesus anything. They'll be guided by the Holy Spirit into all the truth. "And in that day you shall ask my Father," verse 26, and I say not unto you," I'll look at that in just a moment, in verse 26. So what do we have up here? We have this matter of "hitherto, you have asked nothing in my name." Well, there's going to come a time when you need to do that. There's going to come a time. This chart, because of changing computers, every once in a while the font gets shifted. That blue down there is supposed to be right down around in here. I'm just now noticing that. "In that day you shall ask in my name." Up to this point, you have not asked in my name, but in that day, circle that, "you shall ask in my name." Well, why? Because I am about to go to the Father. I am come forth, and I came out from the Father, and I am coming to the world, and I leave the world and go into the Father. That's what I wanted to have circled there. The whole thing got shifted up just a little bit there toward the bottom. The point is, up to this point, you have not asked in my name. But I want you to ask in my name, what's changing? I am about to go to my Father. Well, what is that? I am about to enter into the role of being a mediator and an intercessor. And so I believe it's very important to read carefully here in this matter. And it helps us to understand what it means to pray in Jesus' name. It means that we're praying through Jesus as a mediator and as an intercessor. And this happens to me all the time that I do a lesson like this. And the nice thing about preaching and teaching, and the men will tell you this, is that when they've been studying on it all week long, it's on their mind, and they even begin to think about it a lot. So when I first started working on the lesson, what do you think I was thinking about during my prayers, the several of those prayers since the time of the beginning of the lesson until right now? Well, I've been trying to think more about the idea of Jesus as an intercessor or as a mediator. Not everybody has access to God, and that's what we're going to get to. Not everybody in the world that even is trying to pray, they don't have access to God. And you think about, do you want access to God? Do you want access to God? We have to be right with God to have access with God. And when we pray in Jesus' name, we are saying that we have access to God. Not everybody has that. And we'll talk about that more in just a minute. So praying in Jesus' name then is we are praying through Him. He is our mediator. He is our intercessor. And up to the point, the apostles had not prayed in Jesus' name. But He was about to go to the Father and assume His role at the right hand. Different roles, not just the role of mediator. He'd be a ruler, reigning at the right hand of God. But He's also going to be that high priest. The high priest in the Old Testament was whom? He was the go-between. Between the average Israelite and God. It was the high priest who went into the most holy place. He was the go-between. That Israelite could have access to God through that high priest. We have a high priest, as we're going to see in just a moment. And so when we pray in Jesus' name, it's not just some words that we say at the end. It's not just something you tag on the end, and I don't really know why I do that. I've just always heard my parents do that, so I do that. In Jesus' name, at that moment, you are identifying with the concept that Jesus is your mediator, and without Him, you would have no access to God. Let's look at a few texts. Turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Here, Jesus is described as our intercessor. That is, someone inter, between, someone who's between us and God. And we have that as a Christian. Not everybody has that. In Romans chapter 8, when you consider the challenges of suffering, and that's the context here, Christians who are suffering. Verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or anguish or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? And so Christians go through this kind of thing. But look at verse 34, the verse right before it. It is Christ Jesus that died, yea, rather, that was raised from the dead. Jesus said, I am about to go to my Father, who is at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. That's what Jesus was telling His apostles. I am about to go to the Father. Hitherto you have not prayed in my name, but I am about to go to the Father. And if you pray in my name, because I'm there now as your mediator and as your intercessor, He will grant that for you. Notice, if you will, this statement in verse 34, if you back up to verse 26, you'll notice that it's in the context of prayer. That sometimes we don't know how to pray as we ought. And the Spirit is there to help us, and Christ is there to be our intercessor. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. As we're looking at these passages, we need to, each of us here this evening, we're thinking right now, okay, so what's the point? What's the practical lesson that I can take home with me? And that is this. Have I lived my life in such a way that I can honestly say I have access to God through Christ because I have faithfully obeyed the gospel, I am faithfully living by the Word of God, And when I just simply want to offer up a prayer, I know that that prayer will get to God because I have access through Christ. And when I say in Jesus' name, it's not just a ritual or routine. It's not just something I learned from my parents. It's actually real. That prayer is actually getting to God through Christ, my mediator and my intercessor, because I am right with Him. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. If the answer is no, then I need to change something in my life. If the answer is yes, then I need to keep living faithfully and I need to appreciate Jesus' role. And that's what I hope that we will gain from this lesson this evening. Each time I say in Jesus' name, or in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I want to appreciate that role of mediator and intercessor. He's my go-between. For there is one God, one mediator also between God and men, Himself man, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all, the testimony to be born in its own times. He gave Himself a ransom for all, but that ransom is applied only when you come and obey the gospel in a proper way. But back up to verse 1, you'll notice again that it's in the context of prayer, that prayers be made for all men. Well, how is that going to get to God? Well, through the mediator, verse 5. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Each of these statements are found in the context of prayer. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Since then the children are sharers in flesh and blood, He also, Jesus, became like His people, His brethren, His Jewish brethren. He also Himself in like manner partook of the same. He became a child fully. He was fully God and also fully man, flesh and blood, that through death He might bring to naught that power of death, that is the devil. And He might deliver all them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For verily not to angels did He give help, but He giveth help to the seed of Abraham. Wherefore it behooved Him in all things to be made likened unto His brethren, that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. Look at that, merciful. There are times in our life where we need mercy. We need some help. We need some kindness. We need some compassion and understanding. We have a man who will do that. We have a mediator who will do that. He's a high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that He, Jesus, hath suffered being tempted, He is able to succor or aid them that are tempted. We have someone who's gone through these things that we go through. He didn't give in to sin, and we do. He didn't. But He understands and He appreciates what we're going through. And so when we go to God in prayer through Him, He takes those words of ours. We're not told what He says to His Father. We're not told the details of that mediatorial work. But there is something going on there that is of an aid to us and of a help to us. Maybe He's having a discussion with His Father with regard to Brother Chris, who's offering up this prayer, or Brother Dylan, who's offering up, and he's struggling with something. And maybe He's having a discussion with His Father about that. We're not told. But whatever that is, we're getting help from that. And we should appreciate that. That's what in Jesus' name is fundamentally about. It is saying that we're going to God through Jesus. And He's there to help us. Look at chapter 4. Verse 14, having then a great high priest who hath passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. There's going to be times when we're tempted to give up and fall away and give in and go back to the world. No, hold fast, because you're going to get some help. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In other words, He can be. He will help us. But one that hath been in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with boldness unto the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. All of this is in the context of prayer. But not everybody has this access to the throne of grace. Not everybody is on praying terms with God. They have not obeyed the gospel properly. They're not living properly. And there are people that will offer up a prayer and they'll say in Jesus' name because it's a habitual thing to do. They hear it a lot, but they're not living right. They've not obeyed the gospel. They're not serving God properly. They're religious, they're spiritual, and those types of things, but they're not in praying terms with God. And just saying in Jesus' name is of no benefit. Notice these passages that we're looking at in the book of Hebrews. Look at chapter 4 and verse 15. Who is the we? Let us, verse 16. Who is the us? It's the author and the Christians that he's speaking to. Not everybody has access to God. Look at chapter 7, verse 24. Chapter 7 and verse 24. We'll back up and get the beginning in verse 23. Hebrews 7, 23. And they indeed have been made priests, many in number, because that by death they are hindered from continuing. In the Old Testament, there were many priests. Some would die, others would replace them. But he, Jesus, because he abideth forever, hath his priesthood unchangeable. Wherefore also he is able to save to the uttermost them that draw near unto God through him. Underscore that. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Who is the them there? Those that have been cleansed by his blood. Verse 26, for such a high priest became us, Christians, holy, guileless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. He was sinless. For this he did once for all, when he offered up himself. For the law appointed men high priests, having infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was after the law, appointeth a son perfect forevermore. Now, in these things, we are saying the chief point is this. We Christians, have such a high priest who sat down on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched, not man. We have him right there in heaven for us. We have access right there into heaven. Now, and then ultimately in the judgment day, we will be in heaven ourselves. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 23. It was necessary, therefore, that the copies of the things in the heavens should be cleansed with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ entered not into a holy place made with hands, like in pattern to the true, but into heaven itself. I am about to go to the Father, he said. Hitherto you have not prayed in my name, but I'm about to go to the Father and I want you to pray in my name. Why? I am about to enter into heaven itself now to appear before the face of God for us. You've got someone right there at the face of God for you. You can't get any closer while we're here on this earth. Before we get an opportunity to see him as he is, you can't get any closer than that. You've got someone standing right there. I think about all of these court cases that we see on TV and so forth. Can you imagine what is going on in the minds? Guilty or innocent, that's beside the point. Can you imagine what's going on in the minds of these individuals? They're being carted back and forth between maybe the jail and the courthouse. They're sitting there. Their life, they don't know what the future holds. Can you imagine that? They don't know if they're going to go home or have to go back. But they've got someone that is walking up and speaking face to face with the judge. You know there's got to be some consolation there. Maybe this person is going to be able to help me. That's the same word often used for Jesus. He is our advocate. We're going to look at that in just a moment. Before you turn over to 1 John 2, we'll look at the word advocate there. Turn with me to chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Hebrews 10, 19. We have someone who's standing right there at the face of God for us. When we say in Jesus' name, we need to be so thankful that those words can have direct access to God through Christ, our mediator, who is just by implication, the word intercessor and mediator implies that he says or does something with those words. We're not given the details, but whatever it is, it's for our benefit. It's for our aid. It's for our help. What a great privilege that is. And so when we say in Jesus' name,
Yes, it's by His authority and it's according to His will. And it's also showing that He is gone to the Father, sitting at the right hand, right in His face, speaking for us. Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus. There it is. We have to be cleansed scripturally in baptism by the blood of Christ so that we can have this kind of access. Having therefore boldness to enter into the holy place. In the Old Testament scheme of things, the average Jew couldn't walk into the temple, go through the outer court. Hey, I'm on my way to the holy place. Just let me walk on in there. You can't do that. It was a system that showed there was a high priest that went in there for the people. And it was to show that when Christ comes, He's going to be our high priest. But there's going to be a little bit of a change made in that we can come in. We can come in and have access with God. That veil has been torn down. It's been done away with. You see, we can have direct access. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the way which He dedicated for us, a new and living way through the veil, that is to say His flesh. You can go right in. You can be in the direct presence of God right now. We can do that through Jesus. In one day, it will be in heaven itself. And having a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near, look at this, with a true heart in fullness of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and having our body washed with pure water. We have to be scripturally baptized into Christ and we can come right in and have access to God. We can do that now through prayer. One day we can do that for all eternity in heaven. Why? Because Jesus is right there for us. And look at these, let us. He's talking to Christians. Not everybody has this access. Because not everybody has had their body washed with pure water and their hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. In other words, obeyed the gospel. Have their sins washed away in baptism. Not everybody's done that. But the plead here is that those of you who have done that, don't give that up. Don't throw that away. You have direct access to God. Now turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, where the word advocate is used here. This is very similar to what we would say today as a lawyer or as an attorney, someone who speaks for us. The Greek word parakletos means literally para, beside, and kletos, to call. To call someone to one side to get their aid and to get their help. And Jesus is that for us. But it's conditioned upon us being right with Him. 1 John 2 and verse 1, my little children, He's speaking to brethren. These things write I unto you that you may not sin. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. We have the parakletos. It's like Jesus being right at the face of God speaking for us. And if there's anything in our life that we're uneasy about and uncertain about, like that person on trial, well, am I getting off free? Am I going back to jail? Those types of, and we have those. We have those types of uncertainties and those problems in life. We know that we have someone standing at the bar on high for us, speaking for us. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins. We have to be a Christian. We have to be forgiven. And not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now, you'll notice on the chart there, the context is prayer. If you back up to verse 9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins. Clearly, this is in the context of seeking forgiveness through prayer and confession and repentance. Peter told Simon the sorcerer, after he had sinned, right after becoming a Christian, repent and pray that the thought of your heart might be forgiven. So in confessing our sins, we have an advocate. Praying in Jesus' name includes the very important role of Jesus standing at the face of God for us. And so as we close this evening, I want to close with these thoughts. And that is, what does all of this help us in? As a Christian, as a faithful Christian, you have direct access to the Father that others do not have. You think about the 6 billion plus people all over the world and all the different ideologies and philosophies and ways of life. You can come to the Almighty God of the universe and have access because you've obeyed the gospel, you're living right, you pray in Jesus' name, you have a high priest, you have a mediator, you have an intercessor, you have direct access. Have you ever been in a situation where you wanted to get in to see something but you weren't given access to that? Maybe only a ticket holder was given access, but you weren't. And you wanted to get in and see that, but you couldn't. You can have direct access with God. We have a close communication with the Father that others do not have. Whatever we ask, whatever, that's close. We have that ready, available power that others do not have. Praying in Jesus' name means that we can come right into heaven with our words, not physically, we're still here on the earth, but our words can come right into heaven. We have a man, Christ, our mediator, who stands at the face of God Himself. It's a very powerful thing. And we have a strong confidence in the Father's answer. In Jesus' name is not just something we add on the end out of habit. It's not just something we tag on the end out of habit or ritual or routine. It means that we have access that many, many people in this world do not have. And so, we need to take advantage of that. And we need to be comforted by that. And we need to be encouraged by that. And we need, each time we say those words, and it's hard not to lapse into a ritual or a routine, just sort of say it. But when we say that, try to be conscious of Jesus' role and the blessing that we have to be able to come to the very face of God. Just like anything, you remember Jesus and the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23? Much of what they were doing was hypocritical and ritual and routine and just going through the alms, Matthew chapter 6, and just going through the prayers. And we can do that. And so I hope that our lesson this evening will help us not to just simply slump into some sort of a ritual or routine, but understand what we truly have in Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Very meaningful when we understand what Jesus was saying to those apostles in John 16 is He's saying, I'm about to go to my Father and I'm about to become a role that you have not had before. And I want you to begin praying in my name because I'm now going to become your mediator and the mediator of all of those who obey me. Well, the opportunity is yours this evening if you have not named the name of Christ properly. If you've not obeyed His word, you can say prayers, but you won't have that intercessorship. You won't have that mediator, that advocate working for you. You don't have that access if you're not on praying terms with God. You have to obey the Lord. And if we can assist you in doing that this evening, we want to encourage you to do that. Those words on the end of your prayer aren't just some magical thing that sort of gets it into heaven. We have to have a right relationship with God. And when we do, we have that mediator. And I love that verse in the book of Hebrews where He's right there at God's face speaking for us and on our behalf. If we can encourage you to make your life right in some way, we want to do that. And for those of you here this evening that are living right, I hope the encouragement this evening is twofold. First of all, let's understand what we mean when we say those words, but also to leave this evening with that strong confidence and that boldness and that encouragement that we have that we can come directly to God and keep living faithfully so that one day we will be around that throne. And it won't be praying through Jesus. It will be in the direct presence of God because we've lived a faithful life. If we can encourage you in some way to make your life right with God, why won't you come? We stand and sing.